How would you like to be tormented day and night forever and ever? If you're still in the 20th chapter of Revelations, instead of going to the 12th verse, go to the 10th verse and see what happens there. And see what he says. He says that old Satan there and the false prophet and those individuals, he says they're going to be cast down and they're going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. You and I don't know an end to that ever and ever, do we? The one who goes and lives with God the Father and Jesus Christ is a never and ever too. That's how important our life is to us, to choose to follow after the gospel of Christ, to follow after. Let's read that. 10th verse there in the 20th chapter. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. That's no way back, brothers and sisters. That's how important this life is for us, to know the God that sent his Son, that made the sacrifice for us, and allowed him to spit on him and whip him and to run thorns on his head and drive nails through him and hang him on the cross. Yeah. It's important to know the Son of God. It's important to know that the things that he taught, it's essential for you and I to live those things, or to refuse to do the things that he says, those are no-nos. That's where we're at. That's why we come together as a reunion. We come together to visit one with another, to listen to our brother preach, to teach the thing that's essential for our soul's welfare. That's why we're here. There's nobody else in this whole earth, and never has been, that can save us other than the Son of God. There's no other name given under heaven, and there's no other means or way that we can go other than through and by the Lord. And we got to come to that conclusion that we're dependent upon him. And as our brother said this morning, of ourselves, we can do nothing except try to live according to the standard of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Yes. Then, by our choice, we have worked the work that is essential by applying the gospel of Jesus Christ to our life, and he can say to us, enter ye in. How important that is. That's why we're here. We're here to renew our covenant. We're here to wake up. We're here to be with each other. We're here to encourage each other to follow after the Lord. That's what we're here for. To learn of him and to learn how important it is to apply him to our life. And without it, we will be discouraged, heartache, all kinds of things. And yet through the Spirit of the Lord, we can have that happiness and that peace and that serenity that comes even in this life as well as the life to come. That's what we have. That's why we're here. That's how important it is. I want to go over to the 12th chapter of John, St. John. And I want to read there in the 12th chapter of St. John, I want to read the 48 in the 50th verses through the 50th verses. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Isn't that where we heard that before? That word that he has spoken will judge us at the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whosoever I speak, therefore, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father saith unto me, so I speak. That he speaks what his Father teaching him. How many times do we hear that through the Scriptures? These things I teach are not of me, but the Father which sent me. It's the Father that sent. He's teaching. That's the voice that you and I have a right to hear through the Holy Scriptures, is the voice of the Father through the Son that directs and warns us and prepares us to go live with him. To go live where that peace and that love and that harmony and things are at. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. These books are going to judge us. The things that he has taught us to do and taught us not to do is going to judge us whether we like it or not. That's what it's going to be. And how important is that? You know, it says that that the books are open, and he says, and there's another book, he says, which is the book of life. Is our name written in the book of life? That gets written in there after we repent and are baptized, doesn't it? Isn't it the Lord that says there in the third chapter of St. John that if we're not born again of the water and of the Spirit, he says you can't even see the kingdom of God. Yeah. You can't even see the kingdom of God. You're whistling in the dark that there's a requirement of it. And there's a requirement for those things. And if we were to go over the 16th chapter of Mark, he tells you there in the 16th chapter of Mark, he was talking to the apostles, and he says, go ye out in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says, and those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. And those who don't believe, those who believe not, he says, are damned. That's his word, not mine. I want you to know that. That's what the Lord said. That if they don't do that and if they don't go according to that word, he says, they're damned. Plain and simple. I'm going to read it, 15th verse. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's in red letters. If you'd like to, you can go over to the second chapter of second book of Nephi and go to the sixth chapter and read the 48th and through the 49th verses, and you'll find out that he told them over there that if they don't do that and if they aren't baptized, he says they're going to be damned. In other words, there are things that are written in that beautiful word. There's things that's written in these scriptures that's going to judge us. That takes the time to teach us and to warn us of the pitfalls of Satan, of the pitfalls of the devil, of the evil one, of the one that the Lord says is a master. He says he's a master liar. He's a liar. He says, you know, he can stand before you. We find in the scripture, he says he can stand before you, the Bible says, in the light of an angel. Book of Mormon says he can stand before you nigh in the light of an angel. Which is true. He can't hold the heavenly light. But he can hold enough to destroy the souls of the children of men if they don't do like John said, you know, try the Spirit. If they're teaching those things that are opposite of what Christ taught, you know that they aren't his. You know they're not sent from heaven. We know that they're not a director for the souls of the children of men for their welfare. We recognize that immediately. If they're not according to the teachings of the Son of the Almighty God, they're not. I want to go to page 651. In the Book of Mormon. That's in the 8th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi. And there I want to read one verse. I'll read the 42nd verse. He says, therefore, blessed are ye, if ye shall keep my commandments, which the Father hath commanded me that I should give unto you. Says we're blessed if we keep the commandment that the Father said unto Christ that he was to give unto us. Have we read them? Do we believe them? Do we recognize the need to apply them to our life? Do we recognize the need to bear a light to teach our children? Our friends, our uncles, our aunts, whoever we're around, that they can recognize. You know, I pray constantly for our apostles when they go out, for their safety, for God to direct them, and that when they go out that they would have the Spirit of the Lord with them and they could feel the presence of that Spirit. And that's an answer to the scriptures, because he said that there are going to be few. The ministry is going to be few. He's pruning his vineyard for the last time. But he said, go out and prune with all your might, and our brothers do. And he says, and the Lord of the vineyard will go forth with them. We need that Lord of the vineyard to go forth with us wherever we're at. Not only the ministry, but the mothers, the children that are old enough to understand that we do as Christ says in the Bible. He says that let your light so shine that it glorifies your Father which is in heaven. And our brother brought that out this morning, and the scriptures tell us that we should be ready, each of us, that we should be ready to tell anybody why we have the hope that's within us. Like my brother said this morning, preach, teach, whatever name that you want to make it. There should be a light there, which means it has to be a power, a desire, a work, if that light's there. If the Lord isn't in your life, you don't have a light to glorify the Father which is in heaven. That's just like a flashlight without batteries. That if we're to bear a light, that power and that source of power comes from Jesus Christ, our Lord, applied in our life. That's where it comes from. And if it's not there, we don't have that light. Oh, we can say we got it, and we can say it's this and that, but if the Lord isn't in our life, we don't have that light. That's required, just like a flashlight that requires the batteries. And if the batteries are dead, you don't have any light, do you, Bob? If he's not alive in our life, if he's not alive in our thoughts and our hearts, we're not generating a power that glorifies our Father which is in heaven. We don't have it. It's important. Oh, we might carry the books. We might have the batteries. We might carry the books around with us and everything else. Yeah. But if we don't read them, if we don't apply them, if we don't study, it's just like dead batteries. It's a requirement of our Lord to live the life that his Son has taught, because he's the one that taught him. That's where it comes from. He's the one that directed them. He's the one that put it in there and set us in that way. I'd like to go to the second book of Nephi in the 11th chapter. And there in the 11th chapter, that's page 143. There in the 11th chapter, I want to read 52 through 56. And this is Nephi teaching. And he's trying to tell them how important it is. And he says this, "And now, now behold my people, ye are a stiff-necked people, wherefore I have spoken plain unto you, that ye cannot misunderstand." You know, when you get into the scriptures, they're plain. How do you get into the scriptures? It tells you that when you reach the age of understand that you're not to repent and be baptized. The scriptures are full of it. The scriptures are full. If you don't, you're in trouble. Go over there to the 13th chapter, you know, of the second book of Nephi. And it tells you that Christ himself went down into the waters. And he was pure. He didn't have any sin. But he went down and set the example for you and I. Just like he told John the Baptist, it's necessary. I'm not going to baptize you, but it's necessary to fulfill all righteousness. I need to be baptized to set the example. And there wasn't an elder there, Rich? No. There wasn't an elder there to lay on of hands on the Lord for the reception of the Holy Ghost, but a dove came. The Holy Ghost came in the form of a dove. Then he went forth and went out and went up on the mount, and he called up his disciples there, 12, whom he ordained that he called apostles. That the scripture says he put some in the church first, apostles. That the scriptures are plain and beautiful. Easy to understand if you want to go at it and ask the Lord, direct me, and allow that Holy Spirit to direct. That Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He says the world can't receive it. Jesus said, he said these things. He says, when I teach that truth, he said, that Holy Spirit will teach all things whatsoever I have commanded. That those things are written for you and I. They're written for the world. They're written for somebody that will take the time and set the world aside and go study the individual that created the world and the heavens and all mankind and breathe the breath of life in them and prepared the way that they can go and live with him and his Father. That's why we've come together here, to visit with one another the hope that we have within us, to visit and to teach each other and say, yes, I think it's essential to follow after that word. And I really believe that, as he says here, that it is sufficient, he says here, that the scriptures are sufficient to verify those things that are true. He tells us there that they're stiff-necked and everything. And he says, the words which I have spoken, he says that they're sufficient to teach any man the right way. For the right way is to believe in Christ and deny him not. For by denying him, ye also deny the prophets and the law. That they're to teach all things, that they're to do that, and that they're to bring those things to our attention. I was going to go over, I know my time's gone, I'm sorry, but when I knew when I was to preach today, I prayed about it, and this subject was given to me to speak to you. I could go over, I'm going to try to shorten it here, I could go over to the 15th chapter of St. John, and those in the 15th chapter of St. John, and I would read through to the 10th verse, is where he says that he's the vine. He tells you, he says, I'm the vine. It's Christ talking. It's red letters. First verse, I am the true vine and my Father the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth, that it may bring more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, and the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide with the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye are able. In my you abide, excuse me, in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. How important that is, that we understand how important it is that we abide in his love. And how richly we're blessed when we abide in his love. How powerfully he directs us. How powerfully he helps us. And he does those things. Now I'm going to go quickly, if I can. I want to go to Alma, the 17th chapter. And our brother read that today. And how beautiful it is. And that's a scripture that came to me, and I'm going to read it again. It's on page 441. It's the 17th chapter of Alma. I'm going to start in the 65th verse. And I'm going to read through the 84th. And I know that's a long way, but I'm going to try to hurry. But our brother explained a lot of the things that I'm going to read already this morning, if you were here, and verified it. And I'm going to start there in the 65th verse and read through 84. He says, "And now my son, remember," and this is Alma speaking to Helaman, his son. He says, "Remember the words which I have spoken unto you. Trust not in those secret plans unto this people, but teach them the everlasting hatred against sin and iniquity." Our brother covered a lot of this today. And so those of you that were here, he went to the scriptures and he verified what these things meant. Listen. They're easy to understand. "Preach unto them repentance and faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to humble themselves and to be meek and lowly at heart. Teach them to withstand every temptation of the devil, and their faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach them to never be weary of good works, but to be meek and lowly at heart, for such shall find the rest for their souls." That's how you find the rest for your souls. "Oh, remember, my son, and learn wisdom in thy youth. Yea, learn in thy youth to keep the commandments of God. Yea, and cry unto God for all thy support. Yea, let all thy doings be unto the Lord, and with whithersoever thy goest, let it be in the Lord. Yea, let thy thoughts be directed unto the Lord. Yea, let the affections of thy heart be placed upon the Lord forever. Counsel the Lord in all thy doings, that and he will direct thee for good." How important that is. You find that in lots of places where he says to counsel the Lord, to ask him, to direct him. Ask him to direct you. Do you have any problems that come before you? Ask the Lord. He knows. And he knows what's confronting you. And he knows how to teach you and direct you. He knows just exactly those things. "Yea, and when thou liest down at night, lie down unto the Lord, that he may watch over you in your sleep. And when thou risest in the morning, let thy heart be full of thanks unto God. And if ye do these things, ye shall be lifted up at the last day. And now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing of our fathers called the ball." Remember when they were there, they got woke up and went out, and there was a ball there. And they called it the lehona, or the compass. That was to direct them out. That was to help them know how to get out where they were at. Let's read this for a minute. "And now, my son, somewhat I say about this thing which our fathers called the ball or director, or our fathers called it the lehona, which is being interpreted the compass, and the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness, and it did work for them according to their faith in God. There's a requirement, brothers and sisters, that we believe, that we have a faith in God, that we trust in Him, that we seek Him. Therefore, if they have faith to believe that God could cause that those spindles should point the way they should go, behold, it was done. Therefore, they had this miracle and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God day by day. Want to see some spindles? That teaches you the way of God? That takes you out of wildernesses? It helps you to understand? It helps you know the truth? And it's the Lord that says the truth shall make you free? You want to be free? This will direct us. This right here, it's not a compass, no. But it's what's going to judge us at the last day. And it directs us through the path and in the path to eternal life. It teaches you the do's and don'ts to eternal life. That's what it's about. And they're going to judge us. They're going to judge us. Nevertheless, because the miracles were worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous works. They were slothful and forget to exercise their faith and diligence, and then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. That's the same way with us. If we're slothful and we're not going to get into the scriptures, that we're not going to see what it says that we're to apply to our life and the things that we don't want to have in our life, we're going to be at a standstill too. We're going to be the same way. The exact same way. Therefore, they tarried in the wilderness and did not travel a direct course, and were afflicted with hunger and with thirst because of their transgressions. And now, my son, I would that ye should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as the fathers were slothful to give heed to the compass, now these things were temporal. They did not prosper, even so it is with things which are spiritual. Do we want to prosper spiritually? For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you the straight course of eternal bliss, as it is for our fathers to give heed to the compass, which would point unto them the straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. Oh, my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so was it with our fathers, for so was it prepared for them that they would look, they might live, even so it is with us. The way is prepared. If we will look, we may live forever. And now, my son, see that you take care of these sacred things. Yea, see that you look to God and live. Go to this people and declare the word, and be sober, my son. Farewell. How important it is for us to realize that very thing. That very thing. I'm going to read one more scripture. I was going to put it aside, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go to the second chapter of Nephi. The 11th chapter, the second book of Nephi, the 11th chapter, on page 147. And there in 147, I'm going to start up here. And, you know, the brother is trying to verify. This is Nephi again. He's trying to verify these things. And I'm going to start in verse 95. "For behold, my beloved brethren, I say unto you that the Lord God worketh not in darkness. He doeth not anything, save it be for the benefit of the world. For he loveth the world, even that he layeth down his own life, that he may draw all men unto him. Wherefore he commandeth none, that they should not partake of his salvation." There's not a one in this room that he doesn't want to partake of that salvation. "Behold, doth he cry unto any, saying, Depart from me? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he saith, Come unto me, all ye ends of the earth, by milk and honey, without money and without price. Behold, hath he commanded any that they should depart out of the synagogues or out of the houses of worship? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. Hath he commanded any that they should not partake of his salvation? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But he hath given it free for all men, and he hath commanded his people that they should persuade all men unto repentance. Behold, hath the Lord commanded any that they should not partake of his goodness? Behold, I say unto you, Nay. But all men are privileged, the one like the other, and none are forbidden." That we're all privileged, one like another, and none of them are away. I'm going to close, brothers and sisters. I have brought to the best of my ability those things that I was to bring. You know, in 1983, I was preaching. And at the end of my sermon, my son, Ed, brought this up to me, and he says, "Read this just before you close. I'm going to read it to you." It's a poem. He says, "When the load is heavy and the road wears on, lift up your head and pray with a song. When the burdens seem more than a human can bear, call unto God who hears every prayer. In faith, believing, he'll answer your plea. Just humble yourself and fall on your knees." then praise him by day and praise him by night. And live by his word in other sight. For this is important that we always do, that others might know that we love God too.
Thank you. We're going to use hymn number 155. 155. The rest of the announcements, dinner is going to be served around 5:30. 7 o'clock will be a song service, and at 7:30 there will be another preaching service. He and our brother Martin Addy will be our preacher. 155. Let's stand.
Work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours, work while the dew is sparkling, work midst clinging boughs, work while the day grows brighter under the glow.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to a close of this service, we're truly thankful, Lord, for your blessing, asking, Lord, your continued blessing upon these days of meetings, Lord, and for each opportunity that we have to remember the great sacrifice of our Savior and the love, the grace, and the mercy that you've shown to each of us. Father, that you would strengthen us in our way, that you would help us as we strive to keep your commandments and to do those things, Father, which truly do share the light of the world with others around us. We pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue throughout these meetings, that you would go with us well beyond this time, that you would strengthen us from day to day in our walk, that you'd continue to remind us with your presence of those things which we need to do. I do pray that you'd bless our loved ones that are suffering today. Continue to be with those suffering with cancers. Would you bless them, Father? Bless those, Lord, who are struggling with preparing for surgery, our sister Amy Moser, and the great burden that she carries and the pain that she's been suffering. Lord, I pray that you would bless her. Continue to watch over your people wherever they may be. You know their state, Lord. Hold us in your hand and never let us go, we pray. We ask these things in the name of Christ. Amen.